This is Reuven Levy speaking to you from the Holy Yeshiva Chutzel Chesed Yerushalayim. We're learning the book Gan HaShalom, The Gaon of Peace by Rav Shalom Arush. And we are on page 56. We're at the end of our chapter, which has described in great detail how a husband should never ever even think of criticizing his wife. It's a huge yetzahara, and it's all wrong. Seems like a good idea, seems like the right thing to do, but it is the one thing which is guaranteed to destroy your shalom bayit. If you want shalom bayit, if you want the Shekhinah to dwell in your home, and if you want your wife to make you a cup of tea occasionally, then never ever criticize her. Tov. So now we've reached the end of the chapter, which described in great detail all the damage that is done when a person falls and he mistakenly criticizes his wife. So now at the end of the chapter, of Arush is actually going to bring something of leniency for those who are not yet up to holding on to the truth that they're not allowed on any occasion to criticize their wife. Avaris recognizes that it may be that you're not there yet, and you feel this great burning desire that you've got to say something. I mean, I've got to say just something. So Avaris is going to tell us now that even though it's completely wrong, if you're going to say something, at least say something in the best way possible. It's still completely wrong, but in the best way possible. Let's see what he says now. Derech HaBeinonit, the intermediate way. If you can't yet reach the best way. Im acharei kol ma shelamadnu. If, after everything we've just learned, ha-ba'al nishar im ratzon la'asot l'chol zot eizeh hishtadlut. If the husband, nonetheless, still feels that he wants to do some hishtadlut, effort, mistaken effort, ledaber im ishto, to speak with his wife, lamlitz la al haderech hanachona yoter b'chulei, to encourage her to go on to the right path, etc. Gam kan tzarech uladat, even over here, the person needs to know. Bota rega shiroet hachisaron, vadayish no iso buchlat la'ela. Person should know that even if they want to say something to their wife, right, they just can't live with the fact that the higher truth is that I need to work on myself and it's all from Hashem. I'm not there yet. I need to say something. So fine. Should know that it's an issur muchlat. It's forbidden to say anything at the time she makes the mistake. At that time, it's forbidden. Later on, Tov, he's going to go on to say later on how you could try and say it in a nice way. But at that time that you see she made a mistake, it's Isur, forbidden to do it. Why? K'moshe Hagon Mivilna, like the Vilna Gaon said, Me'oreh Otanu Lilmod Me'akash Baruch Hu. The Vilna Gaon said we can learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shalo istakel al Adam HaRishon B'shat Asiyat HaChet. He did not look at Adam HaRishon when he was in Gan Eden, and Adam HaRishon made the chet, he ate from the tree. Hashem didn't look at him. Ela himtin lo ad shilavesh alei te'ina. But he waited until he dressed himself with a fig leaf, and then he came and said, Adam, where are you? Right? He didn't come to him straight away. Rag achar kach panarav, only afterwards. Midrash is to that's the Ketonet Or, the clothes of skin, but at the time when they were naked and they used fig leaves apparently to cover themselves. So at that time Shem didn't wait to see them embarrassed kilu it from their sin. Okay, yeah.
So when your wife made a mistake,
but the point here is not whether she realized, whether we're learning from Adam Rishon, that he realized, and therefore we learn across it. She realized, we're not talking about that, we're talking about just Hashem's response. When somebody makes a mistake, whether they realize it or not, when someone makes a mistake, you don't look at them in the time of their error. Right? When someone is embarrassed, you don't look at them at the time of their embarrassment. It's an issur to do that. V'gam alabal, so too with a husband. Linhog kach b'veitah. So too a husband needs to act the same way in his own home. What does that mean? K'sheyireh devar shetzarech tikun or chizuk. When he sees something that requires fixing or strengthening, yamtim yomayim or shlosha, I should wait 2 or 3 days. Should not say something immediately. Right, there's a story that I think he brings, Rav Arish brings in Garden of Education. Maybe Bli Neder, if I read it there, maybe it's somewhere else. Where one of the Gedolim said that his son did something mamash wrong that he had to rebuke him about, and over there too, to rebuke our kids is also a big mistake, and there's ways to educate them without rebuking, blah blah blah. Anyway, so this Gaon said his son made this major mistake, and he waited a week before he said anything about it. Took him a week. So he said, why did he wait a week? Because he felt in his own heart that for a week, at least a week, and he was a gadol, well, he's not us, he was a gadol, for a week he still had in his heart upset and anger and emotion from what his son, such a bad thing his son had done. He still felt bad. He said he couldn't talk to his son when he still felt bad, because it wouldn't have come out correct. It would have come out with that anger, with that upset, with that whatever would have been there. It's a gadol, and he knew what he was doing, right? So it's the same type of eitzah here. At the time when something, you can't say anything there, because your yetzer hara is just going to take you and blow you away.
So
count to ten days. Count to 10 days, right? Should have your Svirata Omer chart, and you should just take that. It's not what you're doing, it's not the Omer. Don't worry, I need it. 40 days. 40 days, right. Now I've got something to tell you. Yeah. 2 years ago, you did something, and I'm just thinking about it now that maybe I can tell you. Not even.
No, I'm not angry.
2 years. Yeah, I've just stopped. Top. So first Eitzah, Rav Arish says, if you're going to have to say something and you can't stop yourself, so at least wait. Don't, for sure not at the time it happens. That's not going to work. V'gam lifnei shidaber im ishto b'inyan. And also, before you speak to your wife about the matter, yivakesh me'ashem yivarach, you need to pray to Hashem and pray that your wife does not get damaged by what you're about to say to her. Right? Hashem, I think I really need to speak to my wife. Please help me that she doesn't take this badly, that she's not upset by what I'm about to say. We've got to ask Hashem for help. I can't just rely on my own sense of gentleness, my own sense of being able to say the right words. Who's going to put the words in my mouth? It's not Hashem. He's going to give me the words. Ela tekabelotam bahavana. Rather, you should pray that she receives your words with understanding. Tavin shakov kavanato hi rag letzorach tikun inyan. And she should understand that the meaning of my intention of my words is only in order to help her fix the problem. Velo letzorach pegia or hashmatza, and not intending to hurt her at all. Right? That's Hashem, please, that she takes this the right way. Right? We should all know what happens if she takes it the wrong way. Right? A person shouldn't need an excuse to pray to Hashem beforehand. Right? We know what happens if it doesn't go right. Right? It's not gonna be pretty. So you should pray to Hashem first before you say anything. But Sarifa Ba'alomala etadvuim Batsura Chiyovit Shehi Bikorit Wana. And the husband needs to say what he wants to say, with words which are positive and in a constructive way. Kagon shemala, like, for example, that he might say to her, Kama tov letaken davar zeh, how good it will be to fix this thing. Kama tov litnaheg betzura kazot, how good it will be to act in the best way here. This was the way of David HaMelech. He always spoke. He always spoke in a positive way. For example, right? We see in the Tehillim, "Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach ba'atzat rasha'im." Right? David says to Am Yisrael, "Fortunate is the man that doesn't walk in the way of sinners." Right? What else did he say? "Ashrei tamimei derech." Fortunate are those who go in a simple path. Ashrei yoshvei beitecha. Fortunate are those who dwell in your house, Hashem. Right? All in a positive.
How is it? When the woman sees the men making mistakes, she can't say something.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. She's going to tell you to pieces. Yeah, fair, yeah, yeah, that's what Hashem wants.
She has to.
She needs to, yeah, exactly, because otherwise.
Never learn.
In one ear and out the other. Yes, yes, my wife, yes, my wife. Unless I'm down on the floor begging for mercy, I haven't even noticed. I mean, I don't know about you. If you're sensitive that you notice and you take it on board, and all she's got to say is a little whisper and you take it on board, then that's all Hashem's going to put into her heart. But if your wife is exploding in rage, the only reason is because Hashem knows that you need that. Because Hashem gives each of us what we need. My wife explodes in rage to me, it's because my heart is so dead that it's not going to pick it up. But if my heart's going to pick up from the merest whiff that I see my wife's got an unhappy expression on her face, and I'm immediately, oh, I need to go and do his body, I've done something wrong. And that's all that I'm going to see. That's all that I need. Hashem doesn't need to give me the...
You're embarrassed for the mistake too. So you didn't know that. Let's say you break something.
Yeah.
You feel bad to this man.
Okay.
So now your wife comes shouting, no, don't.
Yeah, but only because I need it. Talbot, my wife can never do any mistake. My wife has one derech, and that is to do Hashem's will. So if Hashem says, now you're going to walk into the kitchen after he drops the plate and shout at him, that's what she's going to do. She's done nothing wrong. In Shemayim, they're fine. She was doing... She's a malach of Hashem. She's doing the work of Hashem. Why? Because I'm the one who needs fixing. And if my fixing right now is to get it in the neck, as they say in English, the expression is, that's what I'm going to get, even if I've done nothing. There's many times we come home and everything's great, and suddenly for no reason, your wife will just like be upset with you or be upset or whatever, right? I didn't deserve that. What have I done here? No, Hashem knows that today, for a particular reason, I need a tikkun, and my soul tikkun is to deal with this, to accept it, see what she's doing.
It almost feels different at that moment. Has to use them because we're being so stupid to wake us up. Like the Rav says when we say, "Blessed Aisha," is that he didn't make me my own wife.
It's terrible.
It's like it's automatic when the women do it. It's like,
all right. Afterwards, she's going to apologize to you. Afterwards, she's going to say to you, "I'm sorry. I know you're good. You're a good husband. That you're trying your best. You're really a wonder. You know." And she'll praise you. And you go, "Well, why? If you're praising me now, what was that about?" She doesn't know either. She had no choice. She had no choice. Okay, so just like David HaMelech, right? V'im lo yomar lo b'derech zu, hadavar yovil l'machloket. And if you don't say it in this way, it's going to turn into an argument. Right, so if you're at the stage that you feel like you can't hold on by Rav Arish's advice and not say anything, you need to say something. So advice number one, don't say anything there and then. Wait a day or two days, a few years. Don't break anything, because the the Gemara says a person who breaks something in their anger is like they're worshiping Avodah Zarah. It's not... Tov, better break the plate than break your wife, but better not break the plate either. Yeah. Right? break ourselves, right? Lie on the floor, break our heart.
Break your ego.
If we want to break something.
Break your ego.
If we could do, we could do such a thing. We could break our heart, maybe. Bazman le debeita, the time to talk to her. Tzarich liot b'shasher hem b'pius v'hava, needs to be at a time of appeasement and love, right? You need to pick your time, right? When the kids are not wanting to go to bed, or they don't want to go to school, or there's a big balagan, don't stop and say, "By the way, I just want to tell you something." No, that's not the time. The time is everyone's gone to bed, you're asleep, they're asleep, just the two of you, quiet time, you're having a nice conversation, you're having a cup of tea, you're sitting on the couch talking about the day, she's happy, she's telling you all the good things that happened. Yofi, now you've got an opportunity, if you're foolish enough, to try and say something negative about your wife. So at least pick the best time. Do yourself a favor.
You're sitting on the couch, talking to your wife, and then all of a sudden, you have four claws digging into your ankle.
Right, that's probably a sign from Hashem to say, "Don't say whatever you're about to say." Right, right. That little warning I dropped into your mind wasn't good enough. So now I'm bringing the cat to give you a bit more of a hint. Don't go there. Don't say it.
Because you're hiding underneath the couch.
Yofi. Right, so that's the time to speak to when everything's good. As you share itavia, gila, how bemilim shalahva. Then you're going to sit with her. And first of all, you're going to say lots and lots of words of love to her. She's such a wonderful wife. How pleased you are with the way she's looking after the kids, how delicious the food is, the dinner, the Shabbat. You're really impressed with everything she's doing. You're amazed at how much she manages to do all day, etc., etc. V'yalbishet ha'tavah she'watzela ila alav b'derech shel ahava u'da'aga l'shloma. And the thing that you want to talk about, the thing that you want to, let's face it, criticize her about, right, that thing you need to dress up in words of love, concern, and her welfare, for her own good. Right? You've got to be smart. You've got to be clever. You can't just go ahead and say, "You know what? It's about time this place is a bit tidier than it is." No, you forget it. Don't even come back. Leave the house and pray that Hashem allows you to come back home. You're going to say something daft like that. No. Got to dress it up. If I can't stand whatever the problem is anymore, and I can't deal with it as my own problem, and I need to say something, then I need to dress it up in words of love, words of concern. Kagon, shewatzela ila. For example, Brad brings an example now. For example, a husband wants to criticize his wife on the fact shehi holechet lishon meuchar, that she goes to bed late. Why is that a problem? If she wants to go to bed late, she can go to bed late. That's her problem. No. So what is he criticizing? Why? This causes labayot pachonot ha-bocher. It causes problems in the morning. She goes to bed late. She can't wake up very early. Therefore, she's not up in time to get the kids ready for school, to make their lunches, to do what needs to be done in the morning. Right? It's all a balagan. The morning is a balagan. She wakes up 7:30. The kids wake up 7:35. They need to be out for school by 8. It's a balagan. It would all be much easier if she got up at 7. That would be much easier for half an hour. She could get everything straight, get things ready, wake them up at 7:30. Everything would be good. And then, tough. How do you tell your wife, "You know what? Why not get up a bit earlier? I can't. I'm too tired. By the time I go to bed at 12, whatever it is, who can get up at 7?
Huh? You say what?
The husband thinks it would be a good idea for the wife to wake up a bit earlier, and it's probably true. Right? It's true that on the face of it, because she wakes up at the same time the kids do, and they're trying to get dressed, she's trying to get dressed, everyone's trying to get changed, there's no one making it's a balagan. So he's now going to say how to address it, right? But the truth is, he's got an issue, right? And the issue is with me, right? We learned the rest of the chapter, which said that actually Hashem is trying to show me something. Maybe I don't get up early enough. And Hashem wants me to make the earlier minyan and not to go to the 8 o'clock minyan, right? And if I actually start getting up earlier, so why will I fall too? Right? Happened in my house. I never told my wife ever to get up early, right? But since I started getting up, not immediately, a year, I was getting up for nets, doing the nets minyan. After about a year of me, my wife thought to herself, you know what? It's a good idea. I'm going to get up early too. And she gets up early now, does his vodadut, before the kids even are awake. She does an hour of his vodadut before the kids are awake, because she realized that's the best time of the day. After that, who knows, right? There's no fixed time for a woman, right? This has got to be done, that's got to be done, you've got shopping, you've got kids, there's no time that you can fix. And you can't do it at night, she's too tired after the whole day. So she realized after a while, the best time, she wants to get her an hour every day, is to do it early. I can never say to her, by the way, why don't you get up an hour early and do it then? Yeah, right, that's not going to fly. Right, so, but she, let's say it this way, she realized herself, let me realize, she put it into her head, gave her the big zuchut, that, but why? If I was getting up, for sure she's not going to get up earlier than me. Right? No wife is going to get up earlier than her husband unless she's a real tzaddikah. It happens, but not normally. Right? Because I get up early, she's now got space to actually do the same thing. But not immediately. And I can't say to her, look, I get up early, why don't you? It doesn't work either. So here you're in a situation that the wife is getting up late. She's staying up late, whatever reason, maybe she's on Facebook, right? I have friends and neighbors whose wives, the way they relax after a hard day is they jump on Facebook and spend an hour or two on Facebook before they go to bed. That's how they relax. They can't say anything to their wife because they use Facebook too. Not at that time and not so long. But Hashem is showing them, Mida Kenegan Mida, right? And so that's their time. But after the kids go to bed, instead of spending time together discussing the day and that's your Shalom Bayit, that's your Ikkar, the wife, they've gone to bed, everything's done. How does she relax? She goes and switches on the computer. And she's up for a couple of hours. And friends who don't see their wives in the evening, they go to bed and they don't see their wives.
Then you have to understand, they speak their family, let's say in South Africa, South America.
Okay.
It's different for time. So when you want to talk with the family.
Yeah, hold on, how long does that take? That takes half an hour. Half an hour. To speak to your family?
For a woman, it can be all day long.
It doesn't need to be. The truth is, Rabbi Arash writes, and he writes it in here, Blinede writes it here.
She takes care of the children.
He writes.
From the sister, when she goes, she's talking to children in the house.
Rav Arash writes in here that if the husband is doing his job properly, the husband is the wife's best friend. The husband is the wife's mother, the husband is the wife's father, the husband is the wife's closest friend. And she doesn't need it because she's getting it from you. She's almost getting it from you. She doesn't need to get that. What's she getting? She's getting, she needs it. That's her breath, her life, her oxygen. But the truth is, the wife, ultimately, Tob, we're not there yet. We don't have to beat ourselves up. But we have to know the true path. The true path is that everything she needs. Right? My wife. Tob, let's leave my wife out of it for a moment. But there are women who don't need. No, let's say the truth. The truth is, my wife used to speak to her parents a lot. She needed, every wife needs to speak to her parents. A year ago, my wife decided to stop speaking to her parents completely. Cut off, cut. On rabbinic advice. Rabbinic advice, cut. She doesn't speak to her parents. At all. I'm not saying that's good or bad, but the point is,
it's cruel to her parents.
It's not cruel. You don't know what they were doing to her. It's not cruel. And it's rabbinic advice, and she was told your kibbutz avdeem is to pray for them. an occupant in your situation. I'm not saying, but why am I bringing that? To show she didn't actually need that. She doesn't miss it at all, right? Why? I'm not holding myself out as a guru of Shalom Bayit, but we spent time. My mash, we spent time, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect either, but in order for her to be okay with that, she needs to be able to unload to me, to talk to me, the thing that she wants to say to them. It's not the case that a woman needs to have such relationships that take her away from the home. Rav Arash writes, right? And it's in, you can be sure, I've not read it, but you can be sure that it's in the Women's Wisdom. Also, that's not the appropriate outlet. Her husband is the person that she needs to talk to. They're one soul, one neshama. That is not the other half of the neshama. That's not the right place to feed that light. She needs to get it from somewhere. The ideal place is to get it direct into her neshama from the other half of her neshama. If she can't get it there, she's got to get it from somewhere. She's got a need that needs filling. She'll have to go elsewhere. And that's always a good sign for us that we need to ask ourselves, what am I not giving my wife that she needs to get it elsewhere?
Now, I don't see the difference. Because how you know she needs something? When she talk, maybe she can teach something.
I don't understand. So again,
she can teach.
For sure. That's so, not. So she took rabbinic advice. I'm not talking. The issue about how my parents were destroying my wife and how she could do nothing about it is not the issue on the table. Because for sure they were. And the only thing for their good, not for her good, right? After years of trying, there's a situation. Look, what's the situation? The situation is this. Person is judged on every word, thought, and deed when they get to Shemayim. Every word, thought, and deed. If there's a situation where someone is mamash damaging someone else, they are being judged every single moment on every word, thought, and deed that they're doing. It's not good for them. You think it's kibbutz adem that you sit there and you just take it, and that's good for them because they're your daughter, they want to speak to you, let them speak to you, talk, so it doesn't sound good, so you're going to ignore it, you're going to ignore the stuff. You're writing their death sentence. You're writing their ticket to Gehinna Chas V'Shalom. And what's the opposite? You're causing them pain and suffering. And we know that all the pain and suffering is to their merit. So actually, Alam Hafuch, it's not the way that we think about it, that actually it's really good for them that you let them unload themselves, let them take you apart, let them destroy you. That's not good. It's killing them and it's giving them a huge big dinim in Olam Haba. And the suffering you're causing them by not speaking to them at all is the only thing that they're going to live on that in the world to come. In the world to come, that's what they're going to live on. The fact that their daughter never spoke to them for however many years. That's their place in Gan Eden because they don't have any of the merits. Mamash. And we can fool ourselves that they're nice people, but they don't. They don't have Torah and mitzvot. They don't have any merits. Nothing. And even the good they do is only for their own honor. Is only for their own gava. And they don't rely on that. They have nothing. Person who without Torah and mitzvot in this life is dead. Dead in this life. It's if they didn't exist, apart from the bad things they did, Chas V'Shalom. So Mamash, apart from people who look at that situation and say, oh, how can you do it? How can you do it to your parents? You don't know what harm you're causing them. It's hafuch al hafuch. You don't know how she's suffering. You don't know how she's suffering to not have parents.
Okay, new situation.
Right? And the easiest thing to do is to call them up and listen to them and to take over. That's much easier. It's much harder to cut and say no. That's the hardest thing. But it's the right thing to do, right? Just like a wife who's being abused, the hardest thing for her to do is to walk away and say no, and she just stays there years and years. It's the same thing. It's not good. We live in a twisted world. We live in a world where family is higher than Hashem, right? Torah and mitzvahs is one thing, but family is above that. Family has this higher place. Family means kibbutz adem. Suddenly kibbutz adem takes on this higher mitzvah than all the others. Yeah. Right? That it's some sacrosanct. It's shtuyot. It's yetzer hara. It's not true. And it's not kibbutz adem. It's not.
You're fair.
Everyone to their own. But a person
is like, so you give a shtuyot once in a week. Whatever. wisely. So people is waiting for the shiur. So they do the shiur.
Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about if it's damaging. If it's damaging them and damaging me, then no one's winning. But I have to be realistic and be truthful. Is it damaging them and is it damaging me? The answer in some situations is yes, it is.
But I think I read in Rabbi.
Personal topic.
Yeah.
He said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Everything you just said about that dream, the whole thing about where like the family becomes more poor and all of a sudden, and Shen had to deal with the family and also the family, right? Exactly what you said.
Fair. Oh, Shen.
Shen comes first. It's like it's in our society. It's not.
Yeah.
We make up these things.
Right.
They each have their own concerns, and it's not really us.
Right. Oh, wait, and it. Shen, come to you, my friend. Right? Yeah, go on. So it also comes in terms of putting family ahead. It also comes another thing, family ahead of God, right? Whenever we go to a family simcha, suddenly Torah mitzvah go out the window because it's more important not to embarrass family, not to upset mom, not to, right? And the things we do not to upset mom, it's not truth, it's not emet, it's sheker. Right? But we find it so hard. So what do? We dress it up and keep it out of the air, and I put that blanket cover over it, and that allows me free reign to just walk all over. What Torah? Hashem. Hashem gets left outside, and I walk in, and now we do that, and then I'll pick him up on the door when I come out. It's a craziness, and it's very hard for us to deal with it. It takes years and years, right? It takes years and years to get to a position of clarity and truth that a person can come to the point where they actually cut. It's not an overnight decision. But you know what? I don't really get on with my mum so much. I think I'll start seeing those. But it's not a pashut thing. But it's the truth. And when a person gets to that position, he's my mash doing the right thing.
Like you said, before about that
part. Yeah.
Before about that, right? Remember the part that you have for your family and deserve
it. Everything. Michael.
I think I read, maybe I'm wrong, in Rabbi Arush, that your wife should have friends and family to talk to, so she doesn't have to unload everything onto you. Because you don't want to, I think men don't want to hear all this and be like the garbage, the emotional trash can of your wife. So it's good for her to have friends and family to talk to, get rid of her problems. So she can function better. I'm not sure if I read it in Rabbi Arush or somewhere else, but I think that's...
I don't recall reading it myself. Rabbi Arush is certainly...
Makes sense, right?
It does, but it does to one level. But the truth is, like my wife's told me, for example, that it talks about in Women's Wisdom that it's not good for a wife to spend a long time in a friend's house. She should try and avoid spending time in a friend's house. She neglects her own home, and in a friend's home, the husband can be there, and there's issues of snoot, and it's not ideal, right? Our society is too much to the other way. So yes, there needs to be something, but currently we're too far that way, and we need to actually come back to actually being you, your husband, your home, take precedence, and everything else is secondary. And currently, we're a little bit the wrong way.
So when your husband is in the yeshiva or